As has already been mentioned, this particular topic could take days, so we'll have to distill it into half an hour. It's the subject at the end of the Sedra. There seems to be a Masora which is missing. And if you look at the art scroll, he writes the word inexplicably. He starts off inexplicably. There is no Masora at the end of this week's Sedra, and then he goes on to find. No, he doesn't explain it. He just gives no explanation whatsoever, and then he goes on to mention that in the Malbim Chumash there is a simon called Eitzei. But again, inexplicably, although Rav David Feinstein has written the Perush on every single one of the Masoras at the end of each Sedra, on this one he says nothing. So the question is, what happened and where did it go to? But in order to understand that, we have to look at the background from the very beginning. What is this Masoira? What is it all about? It's clearly not in the Sefer Torah. Quite clearly, it's not there. So how did it come about, and what is its significance? Sorry, I beg your pardon, yes, you're quite right. I've taken for granted everybody knows what I'm talking about. At the end of each week, each Sedra, there is a simon in most printed chumashim. That simon has the number of psukim in the Sedra. So, for example, take a very well-known example. Tzav has actually 97 psukim, but it says we have to have the kolelil to give you 96. Tzav is gematria 96. I was actually going on to explain the background, so it will come clear in a second. The inner Sefer Torah, which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, there are no such simonim. There are no dots. There are no punctuation. The only thing that you would have is the Psucha and Stuma. There are parshias. Now, I'm not going now into the whole history of it. That's the whole with the Gemara and the Dorim, and what was Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, and exactly what happened. But what we do know is we have a Sefer Torah, and if you look carefully at the Sefer Torah, you'll see there are no stops for Psukim. There's no gap between Psukim and a Sefer Torah. And that's one of the nightmares of a Balkura, that he might stop in the middle of a Pasuk, because he doesn't know when to stop unless he's had the Masora, he knows exactly where to do it. Now what happened was this. At the time of Ezra HaSofer, various tikkunim were made, and we come at that stage to the whole question of Kri and Ksiv. Was the Kri and Ksiv there at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, or did it come in at the time of Ezra? That's a whole topic on its own, but what is no doubt about it, the things did develop. Now at that time, there was Kriyas HaTorah, but it's not necessarily the same as we've got Kriyas HaTorah today. There seem to have been various minhagim. For example, in the Yerushalmi, in Eretz Yisrael, they probably finished the Torah every 3 or 3.5 years. Now there's twice the Shemitah. They used to finish it twice during the Shemitah. And therefore the Torah had to be divided up differently from what we've got today. In fact, if you look at the end of the Chumashim, it'll tell you there are so many Sedras, there are so many what's called Kapitlach. Kapitlach is the Yiddish word for chapters, Prokim, whatever you want to call them. That is a completely non-Jewish matter. The chapters are not Jewish origin. We can prove that quite conclusively. The chapters do not fit in with the Jewish way. There are Jewish prokim, which are different from the ones that we've got, and that's a whole story on its own. Each one of these is a story. But now, then we have also got what's called Sedorim. And nobody quite knows what these Sedorim are. It says that the Sedorim are Kominyan Avraham Avinu, Kominyan, the years of the life of Avraham Avinu had 175 years, and therefore there are 175 Sedorim in the Torah. But I defy you to tell me where they are. What seems to have happened, the most logical explanation is 175 divides by 50 into 3.5. It's 3.5 times 50. And if you assume that in an average year, taking the lunar year and the leap year, every 3.5 years, every year you'd have an average of 50 sedras, 50 divisions. And therefore this is probably an example of the Yerushalmi dividing the Torah into 3.5 years, because that will give you 3.5 times 50 will give you the 175. The reason we don't know anything about it today is because, of course, we don't have 175 Sodom and we don't have the 3.5 year cycle. But at some stage, the Torah was divided into 53 Sedras, called Gan Sedras. This is mentioned in the Zohar, and it's clearly from the Gemara. There were different Sedras, of Pashas Tetzav is mentioned in the Gemara. So then we've got 53 Sedras. The problem is, if you count up the Sedras, we've actually got 54 Sedras, not 53. And there's a whole deal as to how you work out which Sedra goes missing. There are five explanations of that, very, very briefly. The first explanation is Vayigash and Vayachid doesn't count as two separate Sedras because they're joined up together. The kasha on that one is no Sedra originally was joined. It was all one thing. It's only subsequently that we have to have the hefsek between the Sedras. Okay, then that's one explanation. The second explanation is that Truma Tetzava is one Sedra because it's all talking about the Kuna and the Mishkan. The problem with that is that we never have Truma and Tetzava together as one Sedra. It's never a joint Sedra, problem number one. And number two, what about Vayakel Bekudeh? That's not one Sedra, that's two Sedras, Vecholadesh. And Vayakel Bekudeh is more likely to have been one Sedra because it's joined together every now and then. Normally it's joined together. So it's very difficult to say it was Truma and Tetzava, but that's one of the answers. Another answer is that, how many have we given so far?
I've given you two.
The next one is Kisazria Matsayah, is considered to be one Sedra because it joins together. It's all talking about Tzoras. That's another explanation, but there's no reason for it, apart from the fact that it's talking about the same topic. The next explanation is the Zeus Abrocha doesn't count, because when it says that a Gan Sedra, it means Gan Sedra Shushalein every Shabbos. And in Chutzlots, you can never lay Vezos HaBracha on Shabbos. And even in Eretz Yisrael, where it is possible to lay it on Shabbos, it's not a Shabbos sticker din, it's a Shemini Atzeres sticker din. You lay it on Shemini Atzeres. It just happens that Shemini Atzeres falls on Shabbos, so it's Shaykh. But in fact, Vezos HaBracha is not a Shabbos sticker Sedra at all. And therefore, when it says Gan Sedras, it refers to the 53 Sedras. That's the four wrong explanations. The right explanation is the one I'm going to tell you. It's quite clear, if you look at the Masayla for Nitzavim Vayelech, that Nitzavim, it says there are 40 psukim at the end of the Masayla for Nitzavim. How many does it say at the end of Vayelech, do you know? Have a look at the Chumash. It does not say 30. It says there are 70. You have a look at the Masayla at the end of Vayelech, it will tell you there are 70 psukim. Now, you can't find 70 psukim in Vayelech however much you try. Therefore, it must be Nitzav and Vayelech together. Horayah, that was the original Maser, Nitzav and Vayelech was the one which was joined together. In fact, the Shaila is Nitzav and Vayelech one Sedra, which we sometimes have to divide into two in order to be Mekayim, the famous problem of making sure that Nitzav and falls before Rosh Hashanah, or is it Behemoth two Sedras which we join up into one because we have to get them together? Which is it? All the other double Sedras are separate Sedras which you make, that you join them together to make a double Sedra. We call it a double Sedra. But it could be in some Vayelech, it may be the same, it's a double Sedra, but you could look at the other Behemoth, they are one Sedra. It's the one Sedra divided into two. It's the famous legal question whether you have a half of a whole or a whole of a half. What's the difference between a half of a whole and a whole of a half? Well, anybody that does law will know that distinction. It's not for us now, but that's the same Shaila. So we find the Nitzav and Vayelech Be'emes clearly were the one Sedra at one time. Now, that is proved from that Masorah at the end. But where does this Masorah come from? It seems like this. At the time of the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, Lefichoch Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. The early Talmidei Chachamim were called Sofrim. Shoyu Sofrim Kono Osir Shabbat Torah, because they counted all the letters. Shoyomim Vav Degachon, and there's a whole discussion as to what here. There, in this Gemara, it talks about the center of the Torah for letters, the center of the Torah for words, and the center of the Torah for Pesukim. Now that's a whole topic on its own because it doesn't fit in with what we've got. But one thing we do see that they did count the words and the letters and the psukim. After the time of the Gemara, when the Sedras were already now established, that we got the 54 Sedras, the Geonim came along and decided, look, we better make sure that we have a proper count. Just like they made a count of all the different aspects of the Tanakh, of exactly how many words occur in which way, and so forth. I mean, just for example, that would count up how many times is Amos written Molevov and how many is it written Chosevov. Just yesterday somebody pointed out in Vayakhel that the word Amos is the only time in the whole of Tanakh which is written, or the whole of the Torah at least, where it's written Chosevov is in Vayakhel. And he wanted an explanation for that. So, but the Masorah would do that sort of thing. They would set out exactly how it should be. That was the original Masorah. Now, it seems at the same time they decided to count up how many psukim and how many words and how many letters were in each sedra. They did that too. And various Masorahs then came about around about 1100 or 1200 years ago. The first Masorahs of this sort were published, were produced. But of course they were only handwritten, it didn't get around like printing did. Now, there were different Masorahs of different sorts. Now, the interesting thing is they are all more or less identical. That which is of course, they have to be. The Torah is identical. It's one of the remarkable things that the Torah, despite the fact of being all over the world, the osius and the words are, with very, very few exceptions. Everybody knows the Psura Dakos, the only distinction between the Svadi and the Ashkenazi Sefer Torah. But similarly with the number of letters and Molev and Chos, it was very, 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 big Kiddush Hashem that all more or less came out the same. Now, since that time, the different Masorahs were developed in those days, but the Rishonim didn't bother too much with it. That wasn't their field. You know, nowadays they all got left to the Haskalah, and it was left sort of to people who haven't got better things to do. And obviously the Torah of the Halacha and the Shas took priority. But nonetheless, there were certain people who were interested in the Masorah, and the Gemara calls them Sofrim, as you see here. Then what happened was, at the time of printing, the Mikros Gedolos Chumash in the 16th century, once something gets published in print, it's a completely different ballgame. That's how the Lechor Dodi went all over the world. That's how David Oli went all over the world, because once something is printed, it goes mass-produced and it becomes standard for everywhere. Well, of course, the first printer, he who made the Mikros Gedolos, the whole discussion as to the level of his Yiras Shemayim, that's not for here. But anyhow, whatever happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the opportunity of publishing. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it the publishing, there must have been a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to spread all over the world. For example, Lechor Dodi, everybody knows, everybody says Lechor Dodi today. That is a Kiddush Hashem for Rav Shlomo Alkibetz, who had the Zechus that everybody says Lechor Dodi. Nobody would think of not saying it. And that's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a sort of a bas kol from heaven that we should all say Lechor Dodi, even though it's not mentioned in the Gemara, and it's something which is a very, very late innovation. The same thing happened here, that there were various Masorahs which he collected, and he put them together, and he presented them in the Chumash. And that's how it started, and then with that, it got published again and again, until today we have a standard Chumash in which we've got, at the end of each surgery, we've got sometimes one, sometimes two, and sometimes even three Masorahs. There's three different words to explain how many there are on the sedra. Now, where did these things come from? The answer is, if you had to give a different number 50 odd times, what would you look at as a simon? But remember, you have to take a Hebrew word with a gematria. What selection of topics has the most varied amount of possibilities for using that as a simon? Well, you could take an animal, but how many animals are there? You've got a zev and you've got a dove, but how many will you find? 20, 30? That's not going to be enough with the right gematria as well. So what did they do? They took names of people. There are over 1,000 names in Tanakh. Out of those 1,000 names, you are almost bound to be able to find one of those names which will fit in with the gematria of the sedra. And that's why we have so many names at the end of each sedra, so-and-so's name, so-and-so's name. It's actually an interesting phenomenon. They prefer to take names of Hashem's name in, if possible. So you have many, many of the Masorahs have Hashem's name. It's not because of the 1,000 names in Tanakh, the majority have Hashem's name at all. The majority don't have Hashem's name in it. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, they don't have Hashem's name in it. But because they wanted to give it some sort of kedusha, they chose a name from Tanakh which has Hashem's name in it, if possible. That's why we have so many like Ovadia, Amatzia, Yechizkiyahu. All these are chosen as names because they've got Hashem's name in it. There are quite a number of occasions where you've got a name which only occurs once in the whole of Tanakh, because they had to find a name which fitted, and for every single gematria, there's so many different ones and different centres, they had to find a name which had the right amount of gematria, and sometimes they had to take a name which only occurs once, and that's why you find some very, very unusual names, which you probably don't even know where they come from, somewhere in Divrei Hayomim. There are a number of those, that sort. Now, however, not all Masoiras did that. Most of them did that, but there was another Masoira which took a topic which related to the Sedra. Now that makes a lot more sense. Let's take a topic which the Sedra talks about. That will remind us what it's all about. Just like the Haftarah is always connected with the Sedra somehow or other, the Masoira had also to be connected in some shape or form. A beautiful example is Miketz. Miketz has Yechizkiyahu, Amatzia, and the third simon is, anybody know it? Well, I'm sure you're learning Gemara rather than doing this. The third simon is Yihyeh Li Eved. Yihyeh Li Eved. That's connected with the Sedra, because Yosef was an Eved in Egypt. But more than that, they tried, if possible, to take words which came from the end of the Sedra, in the last part of the Sedra. Yihyeh Li Eved are words which actually occur at the end of Miketz. And this is what Yosef said. He said, Binyamin Yihyeh Li Eved. You take Machanaim, at the end, Machanaim at the end of which Sedra is it? Vayetz, isn't it? It says Machanaim. That is the word at the end of the Sedra. And a number of occasions you get words which are actually in the Sedra itself. That makes good sense. So you either, so there are really three types of Masoira. One, which is the name of a human being, somebody mentioned in Tanakh. Two, something connected with the Sedra. And three, words which are actually in the Sedra. Now, it doesn't happen on all occasions. That you can always find a man, because there are thousands of them. You can't always find something which is identical with the Sedra or the words. But there were such Masoiras. Now, these Masoiras are not always complete. Sometimes they only had a certain number. Some were missing. In one Masoira, there are six Sedras without any simon. In another Sedra, you've got other situations. Now, there's also Masoira not only for psukim, but also for words. Now, there's only one place left for words in the whole of Chumash. But originally, there were Masoiras which had more different Sedras. Not so many as they had as for psukim. And there was even a Masoira which had the number of letters. That fell out pretty quickly. So what we were left with was what we've got. And what happened was that when they brought out the Mikros Gedolos, they brought out the Masoira that we've now got, which has a collection of different Masoiras. That's what he decided to put in. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes three. The only one which he had with words is Miketz. And then the Miketz says 2,025 words is the Masoira for Miketz. It's the only one which has got a word. So they all ask, why? Well, historically, it's probably an accident of history, but accidents don't happen without Hashem's guidance. So comes along the Bnei Yisoskar, and he says, the 2025 must be to do with Hanukkah, because the case is always Hanukkah or the week of Hanukkah. It's got to have something to do with Hanukkah. It's the only reason why it should be there. And then he works out with his brilliant mind that Neir times 8 is 250 times 8 is 2,000, and 25 is for Kislev. Chafei Kislev. That's why I got there. That tells us the Miketz is Hanukkah 8 times Neir plus 25. There's only one problem. There aren't 2,025 words in Miketz. I counted them up. There's 2,022 words in Miketz. So therefore, how can the Masoira be wrong? Now, somebody wanted to say, well, Avreich may have been two words, the whole Machlokas in the Masoira, but that's only one. It doesn't get you there. The answer is quite clear, that this Masoira wasn't trying to tell us the exact number of words. It was trying to tell us that this week is Hanukkah, and therefore 22 has no significance. So it got the nearest significant number. It came to 2025. That's the best I can do on that one for the time being. Maybe somebody will come up with something better. But what we're considering at the moment is, if he made a Masoira on every single Sedra, why did he leave out Pekudei? And some of them, the later before, should say he forgot. He just left it out. It was the end of the sefer, so it got overlooked. That's not good enough. And even if he overlooked it, why did Hashem Yisborach allow one Sedra to go without? It must have been, there's got to be a guiding hand for all we do. That's the whole argument nowadays about the computer technology. It's, well, of course it may not have been the original intention, but the fact that it's there today and Hashem allows us to find such significant things there is Min HaShemayim. So Min HaShemayim, what happened in Pekudei? Where did it all go? Now, in our door, two people have written, or about three people now, there was another one, another sefer came out, on this subject. One is in manuscript, which I was zoicha to receive from Mrs. Steinberg. She didn't write it. It was Mrs. Steinberg's father, Rabbi Phil Feingold, Feivish Feingold from Manchester, who's a well-known Boki in these Inyonim, and he actually wrote notes. He didn't actually write the notes. He actually gave a shiur every week, and a man at the shiur wrote down his notes and had his approval, and I looked to see what he said for Pekudei. He says, in Parshas Pekudei, that there is no Masorah for this week. He gives no explanation why there's no Masorah. He just says, in many places, not many, sorry, it's wrong, in some places, meaning the Malbim Chumash, you will find the Siman Eitzei, Aleph Tzadik Aleph, Eitzei. But the Kasha comes about. What on earth is Eitzei got to do with it? It's not a name of a man. It's not that nothing to do with the Sedra. What's the Pshat? It's got to have some explanation. Even if we do have a Masorah for Pekudei, we need to explain it. What's the Pshat in it? So that Phil Feingold says that Eitzei has got nothing to do with the Sedra. It's got to do with the Chumash of Shemais. And if you remember, earlier on in Shemos, it says, Moshe said, V'acharei kein Eitzei. And after I'm finished with you, Paro, Eitzei, I'm going to go. I'm going to go out. And the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban, also says that this is a Sefer HaGeula, and the Geula wasn't finished until they made the Mishkan. This is the Chap. Although Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, they weren't really out of Sivlas Mitzrayim until they had the Torah. And even when they had the Torah, they still had to put it into practice until the Shechina came down and they had the Mishkan, they hadn't really gone out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, he says at the end of Pekudei, Eitzei means that they went out of Egypt. That's the Pshat. Well, if it is, it could, not for me to argue, but it seems to me that every other Masorah deals with the Sedra, not with the Chumash. Why should this one be different? Why should it be there? So somebody else, another page which I haven't seen, but I heard it quoted, suggests that Eitzei, you have to look at Tanakh to see where Eitzei occurs. There's a pasuk in Iyov which says, it says in Iyov, chapter Chof Gimel, pasuk, pasuk Yud, B'chonani k'zohov Eitzei. Iyov is complaining, I can't find a Kodesh Baruch Hu wherever I'm looking, he's hiding himself from me. He says, but B'chonani, test me and you'll see that I came out like gold. In other words, I came out completely pure. That's what Iyov is saying. Therefore, the suggestion is, according to this Pshat, that's the Pshat Eitzei in this Masorah, that Klal Yisrael came out like gold, everything was golden, and they came out. Does that satisfy you? Well, if it does, it's a little bit of what might call Dochet Godel. That's what they say. Now, the word Eitzei occurs in various other places in Tanakh, and you can find a similar possible connection. To me, none of these are very satisfactory because it's got nothing to do with the wording of the Sedra. It's very little to do with the topic of the Sedra. So, if that's the case, why did they give it? There's another problem. You could say, well, they couldn't find a gematria of a word with 92 on it. Is it possible that out of 1,000 words in Tanakh, you find no single word with a gematria of 92? In which case, that would be a very simple answer why they couldn't do it. But it's wrong. I checked this, and I found the following words have 92 words, a gematria of 92. First of all, there was a son of Gershon. Anybody know who that was with 92 gematria? He was Livni. Livni is the son of Gershon, and he had 92. Secondly, Tola ben Pua ben Dodo. You've all heard of the Shofet from Shevet Yisachar in Shoftim. Tola ben Pua ben Dodo. Pua, not the same Pua as the in the Chumash, it's spelled different, that's with an ayin. This is with an aleph, Pua. Tola ben Pua has also got 92. I think. Right. Then you've got one of the Gibeirim at the end of Shmuel, the Gibeirim of David, is called Sivchai Hachushosi. Sivchai, the one that defeated the brother of Goliath, his name was Sivchai. He's also got 90. That's a beautiful word to use. Sivchai would be exactly what the Gevurah of the Seder would be fantastic. What about Achiyo Hanovi? The Gematria of Achiyo Hanovi, which is a pasuk in Melachim, the Achi Hashiloni, is called Achi or Hanovi. Would that not be a nice thing to put as the mnemonic for the Sedra? And finally, we've got Uziyah. In Hoshea, Uziyahu, it doesn't have the Vav in it, it's got Uziyah. You should know, by the way, that these Masorahs always have to be exactly as they're said in Tanakh. They're not changed with, if it's Chos or Mole, it's got to be exactly as it occurs in the Tanakh. They wouldn't change and put something different with it. So you'll find it's always got to be such a posik in Tanakh. So therefore you cannot tell me that it was left out because there wasn't such a word. So why did it get left out? Well, let me tell you now another vort. From this, it's been quoted in the name of the Gerer Rebbe, I don't remember which one, and it's also been quoted in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, both independent. Maybe they both said the same vort. I remember seeing it in one of the publications of the Abarbanel on Tanakh, and I don't remember which one, and not by the Abarbanel, of course, but by the publisher who put a few of his own bits and pieces in, and he mentioned this Meshon the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but I've also seen it quoted in a sefer called Tapuche Chaim in the name of the Gerer Rebbe. He says like this. Originally, there was a simon for Pekudei. Do you know what it was? Anybody know? No? Bali Kol was the simon. Bali Kol, work it out, is 92. So when the gentleman came to produce the Masorah and he put it in the print, he read, Bali Kol Simon. Well, Bali Kol Simon left it out. So that's how it got left out. So he said it's an accident. It got left out, Bali Kol Simon. Now, it's a brilliant answer. And it's brilliant. I mean, this is suitable for the Lubavitcher Rebbe or for the Gerer Rebbe. They're both Pikhim Gedolim. That makes good sense. However, there's a problem. Why did they say Bali Kol in the first place? The Simon's got not. It's not a name of a man. I don't remember. It might be Bali Kol, but it's not Bali Kol. You don't find that. You don't find that. So it's not that. So therefore, it's not a posik in the Sedra. So you're only left with the third Masorah that's got to have something to do with the Sedra. And what's Bali Kol got to do with anything? Well, let me tell you my pshat, and I think with my pshat we'll also answer that kasha too. What is the essence of Parshas Pekudei? If I had to ask you, how would you encapsulate the message of Parshas Pekudei in one sentence? Or in one word? What do you say? You say the Mishkan. Yeah, but Vayakha is also the Mishkan. What's specific to Pekudei? If I had to ask you, what's unusual in Pekudei? Do you know what I'll tell you? Go on. The Shekhinah, yes. But the wording in, you've got superfluous wording again and again and again. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. All that times. Do you know how many times it says it in Pekudei? 19 times altogether. And that's how we get Shemoneh Esrei. The Baal HaTzurim says, you know what, if you count up all the times of Kasher tziva Hashem, not Baal HaTzurim, the Yerushalmi says it. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe is 18 times, and one is slightly different, gives you the 19th time. So from here we learn tefillah. And in fact, if you look at the Baal HaTzurim, you take the letters Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, you'll find 113 letters in all these things together. That's exactly the number of the words of the Chasimus of Shemoneh Esrei. Baruch Atah Hashem Mogin Avraham is 5, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaim Eshem is another 5. If you add the whole lot up, you'll find 113 is the number of the Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, the same number. And that's why we have the Chasimus of exactly 113 in Shemoneh Esrei, which is the same as the Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, and the Baal HaTzurim says that's the number of times that Lev occurs in the Torah, 113 times. That's why, to teach us that the Rachamona Libba boy, that we need to put your mind and heart into the Tefillah. What is the essence of Tefillah? Do you know what the Shulchan Aruch says? I mentioned it also, Shaila in the Bir Halacha. Before you start Shemoneh Esrei, you've got to be Ka'oni Omed Al HaPesach, that's one thing, but you've got to be Ke'eved Lifnei Rabo, like a slave in front of the master. A slave only does what the master tells him. And says the Bir Halacha, he's got a Shaila, if you haven't got that Kavona before Shemoneh Esrei, Efshna not Yotze. All right, there's Manazer, we'll make about various things, and we don't say it over again, because perhaps next time you also won't have the Kavonah. But you're not Mechaven to Shemoneh Esrei properly unless you're like an Eved Lifnei Rabo. What is the essence of an Eved? He's a complete nothing. He's doing everything just like a robo and automaton. That's what we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Kasher tzibu Hashem es Moshe. He did everything which Hashem commanded Moshe. He didn't have his own nigyus. He didn't put his own idea in. He put himself into it. In one word, that's called hispatlus. The message of this sedra is hispatlus.
Hispatlus means negating the self, making yourself simply a robot, an automaton. And when you say Shemoneh Esrei, you've got to have Hispatlus, you've got to be like an Eved working for Hashem, and you put your own ideas aside, you've got to do what Hashem wants. That's the essence of the Sedra. Now you understand why Bali Kol is part of the message of the Sedra. Bali Kol, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's nothing. I'm nothing. Bali Kol, I'm garnished. That would explain what that Masada would have been doing. But my explanation is this. You know, sometimes the biggest simon can be the absence of something. If somebody were to come into this room without his trousers on, you'd suddenly be like, my goodness gracious, what are you doing that for? That must be a simon. There's a terrible tragedy going on outside. He didn't have time to get his trousers on. Why? He hasn't brought the simon in with him. He's brought the absence of something. The absence of a simon and this week's Sedra, when every other Sedra has a simon, is the biggest simon you could get. It's showing that there's no point in making a simon because it's garnished. That's the simon. The simon is the absence of the simon. The simon is the hispatlus. That itself is the simon. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goyer in the fact that when the Avon Adonio made the Birkos Gedolos, and when that was passed down to the Masorah, and when we have it today, there's no simon at all. That is the simon. The fact that the absence of the simon is the biggest simon you could get to show hispatlus. And to, perhaps that could also explain the Eitzei. Eitzei means Ich gehe arois von mein Sich. I'm no longer myself. That's the Pshat Eitzei. Not that the name of a man, not that it's got something to do with the whole of the Chumash, not that it's got a posseg in the Seder. No, Eitzei. I am nothing. I am going out from my normal death. That could be the Pshat in the absence of the simon. Okay, we've run out of time.